May it please the court, counsel. I'm Joy Schiffer Miller, and I'm here on behalf of DeCarlos H., who is actually the father of DeCandace H. The reason the case is captioned the way it is because she has an older sister named Maya T., and so that's how it ends up in that fashion. The evidence in this case, this appeal, actually there are two separate appeals that I filed in this case. The first appeal involved the fact that DeCarlos H. was ordered in April of 2015 to do domestic violence programming and to attend a victim's impact course as part of this juvenile court proceeding.
That was to if he was interested in obtaining custody?
Yes, that's correct. If he is interested in placement, then he needs to do these things. That is true. We maintain, because he's not adjudicated at all in this case, DeCandace and her sister Maya, the adjudication involved the fact that her mother suffers from alcoholism, and she'd relapsed on alcohol and had an issue, and that's why the adjudication came about. And so, yes, it is true that the way the court order reads is he's ordered to go to domestic violence programming, a batterer's intervention course, a 26 or 36-week-long course where he would have to pay for those services if he's interested in placement of DeCandace.
Is it your contention that since he was not a named party when the child was removed from the home and the problems that existed were not specifically his, as alleged in the initial petition, that the court did not obtain jurisdiction over him at that point when they adjudicated her?
It is my contention that the court obtains jurisdiction over the child, but in fact there is substantial...
But not the parents?
Well, there's substantial case law to indicate that the rehabilitative plan must be related to the reason for the jurisdiction, and In re Shayla H. is the case I would cite for that. And in that case, the court found that, you know, yes, you can make certain orders, but they have to be to go toward the rehabilitative plan that is to be developed by the department. And the rehabilitative plan is to correct the conditions that led to the original adjudication. And because the original adjudication in this case did not at all relate to domestic violence on the part of my client, it is our contention that it was an improper order to put forth. And I would also go on to say that, as demonstrated in the evidence in this case, this is the second time that this child has been in the juvenile court proceedings as a result of her mother's improper use of alcohol. And in the first time that it happened, DeCarlos H. actually had placement of DeCandace during that period of time. And what they're alleging as far as his long history of domestic violence predated the time that they placed the child with him back in 2008 when the case was adjudicated back then. And so we do believe that, and I've kind of merged myself into the second appeal, and the second appeal came about because in June of this year, after we had appealed the first issue about whether or not he should have to take the domestic violence batterers intervention program and the other program, then the child was removed from a placement that was familiar to the child and actually a relative of Mr. H, and was placed with a stranger, and DeCarlos was deprived of even being told where the child was placed, all in contravention of the statutes that we've cited.
But weren't the allegations that it was because of his conduct with his relatives that was resulting in the relatives saying they didn't want possession of this child any further?
There was an affidavit that was filed by a caseworker, Ms. Lauenroth, who's in the courtroom today, and in her affidavit, she stated that Ms. Corinthia F. stated that Ms. B., the mother of the children, had threatened to beat her ass and words to that effect. And she said, and Mr. H. has talked about me to relatives, and I don't like that, and therefore I'm doing this, or giving notice, or not wanting the child placed here. Now, Mr. H., this court reviews the matters de novo, and Mr. H. testified in court, subject to cross-examination, that he didn't do the things that he was accused of doing, and he was not even notified by the department that they were going to change placement from this kinship home to a stranger. And I would submit, before the child was removed from this home, Mr. H. had unsupervised visits. He was over to visit the child on several times a week basis. He would pick the child up and take her places, like the zoo, which is how he learned that she'd been removed from this home. He went to pick her up and take her to the zoo, and he was told by his relative that they're gone. I sent them away with the department, and they've been now placed in a foster home. Well, there are statutes that say you're to give 7 days notice of a placement change, and I do understand that there's a distinction. If there's danger to the child, you have to make an emergency placement change, or if there's notice given that says you have to emergency remove these children. But even in that aspect, you're supposed to give 24 hours notice, within 24 hours file notice with the court of the reason for the placement change. And I would submit to you that it makes no sense to say you give that notice and then do not tell DeCarlos H. where his child is moved to. And in this circumstance, I believe that the evidence is clear that the child would have been in a better home had she have been placed with a relative, in fact, her father. And he was also willing to take Maya T. in as well because they didn't want to divide the children up.
Did the court make a specific finding that DeCarlos was unfit to have placement at that time?
I submit to you that the court did not make that finding. And I did note that there was a case that has come down since we filed our brief in this case, and it is a not designated permanent publication, In Re Interests of Adrian W., and I believe, Judge Moore, that you were one of the judges that wrote the decision in that case, and it's found at A15021, and in that case, this court stated that you have to make a specific finding that Mr. H. is unfit. In this case, the court did not make that finding. No one asked the court to make that finding, and I submit to you that the evidence as a whole would demonstrate that he was not unfit. I see that I'm into my rebuttal time, and I would ask to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Very well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel for Appellee.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Chris Reed, Deputy Lancaster County Attorney on behalf of the Appellee. Regarding the first issue of the appeal of the April 3rd, 2015 order, I would first submit before we get into whether or not that review hearing order, reviewing the plan disposition, and some of the changes, slight changes made in that order, whether that's appropriate or not for the court to do, I don't believe that issue has been properly preserved for appeal before this court. There was no objection at the April 1st hearing to that exhibit, the March 25th court report authored by the department worker, no objection to that exhibit. Some testimony was given by the caseworker as to what her recommendations were, which included the recommendations if DeCarlos H. wants to be considered for placement, here are the things that he should do to be considered for that. No comments were made at the conclusion of that hearing arguing that those were inappropriate, that there was nothing, or that he shouldn't have to do that because I believe it was Ms. as counsel for DeCarlo had said, that he was not adjudicated. None of those things were done to argue that this was an appropriate order or something the court should not be doing. And then once the written order comes down approving the basic plan of the department, then an appeal is made without any sort of objection to those arguments. I'd also submit that I do not believe that this is a final appealable order. The dispositional order had what I believe is essentially a similar or very similar provision, that mainly the dispositional order, which is in the record, provided that DeCarlos H., if he wished to be considered for placement, shall participate in domestic violence education classes. And then the April 3rd order merely serves to clarify that a little, to say that this should be the battered intervention program, as well as the victim impact, which is clarifying what those are. There's case law, I believe the Maya C. case cited in my brief, that indicates that unless it's a similar change, then that is not something that's a final appealable order. I'll suggest that it's only an order saying if you want to be considered for placement, this is what you should do. It's not telling him that he has to do anything at that point. I don't think that issue becomes ripe until the appellant actually files the motion asking for placement with him. And then the issue of, well, did you do these things as directed by the court, I think becomes right to address.
Counsel, you agree that the April 2015 order, which was much more specific than the first order, the one from January.
I would agree it's more specific, but I do believe the first order has a broad category of the domestic violence programming, and then this order gets some more clarity of what specifically that should look like. It's still, if he wants to be considered for placement, it's participation in the domestic violence classes, education groups, to help address the concerns that the department had and articulated in that brief. I would also suggest that counsel for the appellant did not present any evidence at that hearing that this plan was not in the best interest of the child, and not that it wasn't related to the adjudicated issues. And moving into that, the adjudicated issues.
Before you go, let's keep going where we were, because I'm still not positive where we're at as far as jurisdictions. The first order was a general order and required you to do one thing.
Right.
The second order was much more specific and required you to do two things.
Correct.
And in effect, the two things are going to be more difficult for him to complete than the one thing that was in the January.
I think to some extent you're right, that there only because it articulates specifically what that is.
If that's the case, then isn't the second order different than the first order?
It is different.
And therefore, it's a separate, it's not just a continuation of what the previous order had indicated. It's similar, but it's not the same.
And I think, though, that the standard in the Maya C. case is not whether it's the same order, but substantially similar. My opinion is it is substantially similar. It's the same sort of domestic violence programming that we're talking about. This just articulates a little bit more precisely what that looks like.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Still, I think that it is reasonably related to the reasons for the adjudicated issues. The adjudicated issues are the violence in the home. And even though the violence in the home was adjudicated and based on the children's removal was between the mother and the children, there's still a history as evidenced in that court report of domestic violence in general. And that's the concern the department had. That's the concern that the state had. And the reason why, if the appellant wanted to be considered for placement, this is what it needs to correct that, so that if we do return, when we return the children to the home, we're confident that those issues of violence in the home are addressed and future problems for the children to be exposed to that and be further traumatized by that. Moving on to the second issue, which is the placement change. Again, I think there is a jurisdictional issue here of what really was going on and what really was appealed. There was a motion filed by the department asking for the placement change from a essentially, I think what the department would term as a kinship foster home of Corinthia F to a licensed agency-based foster home based on concerns. There were concerns of the mother. There also, as mentioned in the affidavit, concerns of DeCarlos H. Being possibly intoxicated at a family function, getting into an argument that the foster father was concerned was going to turn physical, and that seemed to be kind of the tipping point. They gave notice they did not want the children in their home anymore, and so the motion was for a placement change from one foster home to the next. That was done on the 19th, and that order was signed. On the 25th was when there was a brief hearing. Part of it was for an adjudication on a supplemental petition filed against DeCarlos H. The other part of it was to address the department's placement change. At the time of that hearing, when it started, there was no motion that DeCarlos H. had filed asking for placement of the children back with him. During comments at that hearing, he brought up that he wanted the child back home. I think, though, that that issue wasn't properly before the court to really address whether he, whether the parties are on notice that that part of the what's being litigated that day is for DeCarlos H. to have his daughter back home. What was before the court was the department's placement change motion, and the court, I think, properly merely continued the order signed on June 19th of 2015, continuing the out-of-home placement of DeCandis and continuing that placement change. I think if DeCarlos H. wanted to really litigate that issue of him having his daughter come back home with him, he should have filed a motion, should have more properly put that issue before the court than what was done at that time. Even if this court believes that issue was properly brought before the court, I still think there is sufficient evidence that the court could find that DeCarlos H. Was unfit at that time to have his child home. I would note he had never asked for his child to be returned up until comments on that date, and there was clear evidence that he had a warrant out for his arrest on that date. I don't know how we could say on that date you should be able to have your child go with you when you're in court, have a warrant out, and are going to be taken into custody following that.
Do you agree that the court did not make a specific finding about DeCarlos's fitness?
I do agree the court did not make that specific finding.
Is that a problem, do you believe?
I believe it's not a problem for two reasons. First, I think this court, with de novo review, can go ahead and make that finding based on the evidence. I also think that, again, going back to, I don't think that issue was properly before the court. I think it was on the department's placement change motion, not any motion that DeCarlos H. had filed.
But doesn't the parental preference doctrine always come into play when you're talking about placement of a child?
I think it does. And part of the issue, I think, going on in this case is we have a supplemental petition on file waiting to go to trial, and they're not in the record that, with this being on appeal, that the first appeal being filed, there's jurisdiction issues of whether the court could hear that. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was difficult to really litigate the issues of his unfitness. But I will, you know, I do agree that the judge did not make that finding there, but I do think there is sufficient evidence that the court, this court, could make that finding and overview that he is unfit, or simply at the very minimum remand for further proceedings for the court to make those findings and have a hearing on something. Thank you.
Thank you. How much time does appellant's attorney have? Thank you.
Your Honors, with respect to the arguments made by counsel, the record that was offered, the case plan that was offered, and the testimony that was offered at the dispositional review hearing, it is true. I don't believe that there was an objection to the document coming into evidence. When you look at the record, I believe that another attorney was filling in for myself, and there was no objection made at the time, but I believe that that does not ameliorate the problem of trying to adopt something that is totally inappropriate for the rehabilitative plan. And I would submit to you that it is inappropriate to make a order that's conditioned on something else, like if you want to be considered for placement, you have to do certain things. That is a prospective order, and I'm not certain that that's appropriate in any event. With regard to Mr.
Excuse me, do you have any authority for that?
I believe there is authority for that, but I don't currently have it. It was not something that was briefed in by the parties in this case.
Thank you.
With regard to the argument that because Everlyn B. had attempted to strike Maya T. and was under the influence of alcohol during the incident, that it's related to that case that that Mr. H. Was somehow involved in domestic violence, I would submit to you that that's not a good argument. I mean, Mr. H. was not at all adjudicated in this case, and if you were going to make that argument, you would have to adjudicate. I believe the evidence would not support the finding that Carlos H. was unfit at the time and that placement should have been with him. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both, counsel. The matter is submitted. You are excused. The last matter this afternoon is In Re Interest of Brand.